Southeast Radio's Morning Mix. Southeast
Radio. Today, we're going to start the programme by heading directly to Goree, where the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform is currently in attendance. I'm joined by Minister Pascal Donoghue. Good morning to you, Minister.
Good morning, Alan, and thanks for having me on your programme.
Can you tell us why you are in County Wexford today and whereabouts are you at this point in time?
I am indeed. I'm just here in Goree, as you say, and the reason I'm here is that while the next general election is at a date that will be in the future, obviously, I'm here to support Brian Brennan, who's the Fine Gael general election candidate. And I'm just here to support his candidacy. And we've just done a breakfast briefing here this morning on the budget. And we've met lots of small businesses to hear their views on the budget and met lots of community organisations. So a good start to the day and great to be in Goree.
OK, so how do you see Budget 2025 impacting the people of Ireland, especially in the long run?
So in the long run, the way I see it helping is the money that we are using to invest in the things that can make a really long-term difference to our country, like energy and water, which will also allow us to continue to build more homes, the decisions that we've made to keep our public finances safe. But in the here and now, it's also about how we can give people back a bit more of their own money to help with the cost of living. Prices have gone up by around a fifth in Ireland, as they have all over the world over the last couple of years. And even though inflation is falling, prices are still high. And the measures that we've brought in for before Christmas and then the permanent changes for tax and social welfare are all designed to try and cushion that cost.
Now, I know I made people aware that you were coming on air with me, and as a result of a number of questions for you, Minister,
sure.
So I'm going to just put them towards you. First of all, as you don't need me to remind you, that one of the big talking points at the moment is the allocation of €9 million for phone pouches. You've allocated this in funding for phone pouches, and yet there are children struggling to get to school in this county, as you join me this morning. What's the point in allocating €9 million to prevent children from using their phones in school if children can't even get to school in the first place here in Wexford?
Sure. Thanks, Alan. So firstly, we have a school transport system in the country that is successful and does work in helping most children get to their local school or to the school that they're going to. But of course, I accept there are a number for whom that doesn't always work out. And we try to fix that year by year. The reason why we have set aside money, though, for mobile phone units in schools is, even though I'm a politician, I use my phone a lot and I use social media a lot, I am convinced that in a few years we could look back and wonder about why we allowed such access to social media and phones by young women and men. And something that we have to look at how we can do better on is how we can support our schools in counteracting the influence of social media and phones on mental health and on the resilience of young minds. And that's why this has been done, to try to give teachers a better chance during the school day of keeping the full attention of their pupils. And unfortunately, Alan, there's a growing amount of clinical evidence at the moment pointing to the harm that has been done to mental health and resilience of young teenagers by how they access their phones, particularly during the school day. And this is a measure that is aimed to counteract that.
And that's admirable, but you join me in County Wexford this morning, Minister, in a county that is struggling to have actual mental health services implemented here. I mean, it's been said that €9 million is for mental break, but if the government are concerned about the young people's mental health, why was the money not invested in the much-needed mental health services in counties like Wexford?
But we are spending more and we are investing more in mental health services. And the funding that mental health services will have in 2025 has gone up. But then you could even see this measure through the prism of mental health. Mm-hmm. We spend many, many, many multiples of €9 million per year on supporting the mental health of young teenage women and men. And this is a measure that can complement that. Right. And if we look at the challenges that are now very apparent to us in the confidence, in the resilience and the well-being of our youngest at the moment, unfortunately, we have to acknowledge that while social media and mobile devices bring many benefits, their unhindered and unfettered access has big costs as well. And what we are simply looking to do is find a way of supporting schools in helping with that work. You know, the amount of money we are spending in our schools has gone up year after year after year and will continue to do so. And this is a measure that's trying to complement and support that.
We had our own wonderful services here in St. Sennans, but the general thought process in this county is we need our own state-of-the-art facility here in County Wexford. Something that I've discussed with your colleague Paul Keogh on many occasions here in this particular programme. It still hasn't come to pass. And when we hear €9 million being spent on pouches and we wonder where our own state-of-the-art facility is, you can understand the frustration of people within this county, Minister.
Oh, I appreciate that it is an argument that needs to be made. But are we comfortable with the effect that social media is having on young people at the moment? Are we comfortable with the effect that we can see upon attention spans, well-being, by the effect that constant exposure to your phone and social media is doing? And I think there's a growing amount of evidence to say that we shouldn't be. And we need to look at what we can do to support our schools in dealing with that. And additional facilities that we need, the additional investment that needs to be made. Yeah. Budget by budget, Alan, we are aiming to do that. But this is one measure that will ultimately be found to work in a cost-effective way in our schools that can make a difference.
Right, well, look, I've heard the views of the concerned listeners. You've given your response and that. I want to move on in the time frame I have with you, Minister, to the whole area of hospitality. I've addressed this issue with your fellow ministers on the programme this week and the Sinn Féin spokesperson in finance, Piers Doherty. Adrian Cummins of the Restaurants Association is one who said that as a result of the 13.5% VAT rate remaining in place, you could have up to another 1,000 restaurants closing over the next 12 months. As I mentioned to your fellow ministers, we've lost 4 restaurants in Wexford this week alone. And I'm looking at an article in the Irish Daily Mail where you've accepted responsibility for the €336,000 Doyle bike shelter. I'm just thinking a small percentage of that money would have kept the 4 restaurants that have gone to the wall here in Wexford open. So where is your priority with helping the hospitality trade in County Wexford?
Well, so respectfully, you think those figures are very different. So I'm a member of the government. I'm a minister for public expenditure. I always accept responsibility for how our country's money is spent. At the same time, I explain that no politician is involved in decisions in relation to the building of a bike shed. It's important to make both points. Yeah. In relation to the cost of the VAT measure, that's between €700 and €800 million per year. And I wonder sometimes when that question is put to me, why there's also not an acknowledgement of the cost. He spent the early part of the interview making the point to me about why aren't we spending more in mental health services, Aidan?
Yes.
If we decide we're going to spend €700 or €800 million, Alan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
If we decide that we're going to, excuse me, Alan, if we decide that we're going to spend €700 or €800 million on a tax measure, it has an opportunity cost. It means we can't spend money on other things.
Yeah, but Minister, can I stop you for a second? The country is awash with money, €24 billion.
I don't like to be speaking over you, and you don't like to be speaking over me.
No, I don't. Me, no,
so
and
we
I
won't
don't
do
intention.
That.
Okay.
And we won't do that. But they are the trade-offs that need to be made. And then, Alan, in relation to your very important point there,
yes,
regarding the feel that we are awash with money at the moment, nearly all of that money is created by corporate tax. Much of that money will not be permanent. And what we shouldn't do is spend temporary money on measures that we know will be permanent. Because we've been down that path before as a country. You've been around.
Yes.
Your listeners have been around. And unfortunately, I've been around when we ran out of money. And I don't want that to happen again. And the last thing I'm going to do is say to your listeners that I'm going to pay for something that will be permanent out of money that I believe could be temporary. Because we can't take that risk again.
There's 280,000 people involved in the hospitality sector. I mean, we've heard a heartfelt plea from Colin Neville, who I'm sure you know of, a well-known businessman, investing quite a lot of money with his brother. They've only bought another hotel quite recently. These people have put their money where their mouth is, and they're crying out for support, so they cannot understand why not more has been done to help the hospitality sector. One of your fellow ministers, Taoiseach himself, said he would revisit this topic for me again. Will you look into this in the hope that you can help the hospitality sector in counties like Wexford further? Can you do that?
So, of course, all of these things can be considered in the future and looked at again in the future, but we'll never go away are the trade-offs in relation to us. that if you do one thing, particularly one thing that does involve the spending a lot of money, it does influence, therefore, in other things that you would like to do. Mm. In relation to supports and measures that are there, I think the challenges that the hospitality sector are facing are an awful lot more complicated and diverse than just a single rate and a single tax rate. We have to look at the price of energy. We have to look at changes in relation to things like sick days. We have to look at other costs that our businesses are facing, right, while also knowing, as I'm sure you've covered in your program as well, the impact that changing lifestyles are having on where people eat, what they drink, where that happens. And all of those are factors that we need to consider. So, of course, look, I've been Minister of Tourism. I was Minister for Finance when I did all I could to support the hospitality sector. I place such great value on them. But all I'm just seeking to do through your important questions to me is just explain the trade-offs that are involved in some of these decisions.
And I appreciate you coming on air and talking to us live this morning.
I
want to move on to, like, you know the importance in a county like Wexford of small and medium enterprise.
Sure.
There were calls from the big four accountancy firms for an increase in entrepreneur relief from 1 million to 5 million euro in the budget. Now, this didn't transpire. Is it likely to be included in the finance bill?
I don't think any significant changes will be contained in the finance bill. It is the case that changes can be made between budget day and the finance bill, but they tend to be relatively modest and targeted. I do believe Minister Chambers brought in other measures to try to help small businesses and businesses that are entrepreneurial in nature in relation to the R&D tax credit and how that is paid, and in also relation to VAT thresholds. Mm-hmm. And that are other ways in which we're seeking to address the issues that those companies have raised with you. I make just very quickly and finally one broad point that the best help we can give to small and medium-sized businesses is to have a growing economy with demand in us. Mm-hmm. Demand for their goods, demand for their services. And that budget by budget is what we've tried to do.
And it's not all negative comment I bring into you, Minister, because there are people who have broadly welcomed aspects of this budget, and I think it's very important to mention that as well. But some of the key issues, like the commitment to increase spending and training and upskilling for small and medium enterprises, has been welcomed by businesses here in Wexford, as the National Training Fund is financed by the employers' PRSI. But can you tell us a little bit more about the detail behind this announcement, please?
Of course. Look, this is just reflecting the fact that the employers that are listening to your programme, by the PRSI that they have paid, combined with the fact that we've 400,000 more people working in our economy, mean that that part of our national finances that funds our training and universities in our country is currently in surplus. And what I have said I will do is, over a number of years, reduce that surplus so the money that we have going out of it is equal to the money that we have coming in. And what that will mean year by year is very big increases in the funding that we're making available to our universities, to our technical universities, and to apprenticeship and skill programs. Because amidst everything that we are talking about, the greatest asset and value that we have within our economy is our people, their knowledge, and their productivity. And we have an opportunity to invest more in that in the next few years, which is what we're doing.
Getting back to some of the measures that you brought in, like, here's a question for you. Why are you not means testing people's income for the one-off payments, the 225 euro electricity credits? There are people who are on six or more figure salaries who do not need this money, and yet there are people who need perhaps a lot more. Why was this money not used elsewhere? Where would it be needed more pressingly? I mean, means testing, have you thought of that, or is it, what are your thoughts on it?
So the majority of the one-off measures are means tested. Or are conditional. Obviously, child benefits is conditional on being a child and you having a child. All the other payments are relation to social welfare payments that are means tested. The one you just mentioned there, the energy credit, you correctly say isn't, but it's a smaller share now of the overall package than it has been for some time. The reason why that is not means tested is because the energy shock has been so big. Like, there are a small number of people within our economy and our society who, because of their income, as you correctly say, don't feel the impact of the higher energy bills. But they are a minority. And for the majority of people, they do feel the impact. And that is why a broad measure is needed.
Thank you for taking time to talk to us this morning. I'm going to conclude with a series of questions I have for you on the whole area of education. We have one of the most expensive third level education fees in the EU. Why was the fee reduction only a once-off measure? Why could this not be reduced permanently?
So it's the, I think, the second or third year in a row in which it has been temporary. So I think it's a reasonable kind of a attempt to try to make an impact on the cost of going to college and the cost of going to higher and further education. But what the government is very much aware of is there's many other things that can impact on the cost of going to college too. Most notably accommodation and the lack of accommodation or affordable accommodation. And that's why also within the budget, there's just over 100 million euro now to provide an additional 1,000 spaces of student accommodation across next year. So we're trying to come at it in both ways to find lots of different ways to, over time, make it more affordable to continue your learning after school.
There was very little mention of increasing the income thresholds for the SUSE grant. Are the thresholds increasing to help make third level more accessible for students? What's the story with the SUSE grant?
So I know that the income thresholds for that was changed in a recent budget, but I don't believe it is contained in the current one. But the Minister for Higher and Further Education, Patrick O'Donovan, I'm sure will be speaking to that in the time ahead. So we've done it in other budgets. I don't believe we've been able to make a meaningful move on it in this budget, and that is simply is because we're not in a position to do everything in every budget year after year. But as I said, we've done the move in student fees for another year in a row, and we've also tried to do more in student accommodation than we've been able to do for many years.
Well, we started in a positive frame of mind, so I'll let you take the opportunity just to, as we round off our conversation this morning, are there any other messages that you would like to get out there this morning in relation to the positive aspects of this budget, please?
No, I think you've given me a great run through on all the different issues that are there, and I thank you for, you know, the opportunity to be on your programme and to explain it. I know there are many, many needs, many different challenges that you are correctly raising with me. I've done my best to respond back to your questions. And all I would just simply ask your listeners to consider is that, you know, we've made progress in recent years. We can't do everything in every budget, but I hope the impact of this budget will help people, particularly in the run-up to Christmas and the New Year, with the cost of living. I look forward to being back in your show again at some point soon.
Good morning to you, and thank you for taking our call. That was the
Thank you very much now. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Pascal Donoghue.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix.